Okay, we're ready, right? Yes, here we are. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua 22, verse 5. We're going to do it again. Here we go. But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua 22, verse 5.
Tonight, I have asked Alisa to come up and share with you what she has, what the Lord gave her, and you're going to get one of these passed out to you. So if we can get those being passed out to everyone, and Elise is going to come up and share with you about this, okay?
So I was asking, when Joy started teaching on Joshua, these next chapters, sorry, not used to speaking in a mic, I was really glad when she said, did any of you, when you started reading, and reading all of this, did you kind of go, oh my? And I did, because the division of the land from chapters 13 through about 19 is this Benjamin has it to this rock, over to this tree, to this mountain, and these are the names of the families that are in there, and then there's this family over there, and I read it, but I didn't really read it, and I knew that all scripture was for our benefit, and it's to edify us. So I went back and I asked the Lord, okay, what do you want me to know? I know there's layers here that I'm not seeing in what you want to teach us. And so I'm an artist, so I journal a lot in art, and I asked the Lord what to do, and I thought, okay, I'll make the map. So I took the map, and I freehand drew it in my book, and then I divided it up, you know, to Manasseh and all the tribes. And then I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to know? Is there something special about all these tribes? And he said, take tissue paper, take tracing paper, put it over the map, which I did. And he said, trace it again, trace all those divisions. And now, what is the land that I've given you? What is the land that you haven't taken? What is the land that I've promised? What are the common lands you have? And so I started putting in my son, my husband, my friends. We're all wives, mothers, grandmothers, sisters, daughters, cousins. We're friends, and we all have land the Lord has given us to take hold of. And so I started doing that, and I made a list, and I put it in all those areas, and I put all the people that I was to pray for. And the Lord showed me three things that I just wanted to finish with. First, when I would start praying, he said, always make sure that you wait on the Lord, because Joshua always waited on the Lord. The ark went first, or the priests went first, and they praised God, but always the Lord went first. So he said, you wait on me. And second, when you're praying over these lands that you want to take possession of, that I've given to you, the second thing is that that you should know that I have given them to you, and you're to pray for them, but pray the way I want you to pray. And sometimes, you know, maybe some battles are going to be hand-to-hand combat. You're just going to be praying your hearts out with a friend or with yourself on the floor at night. Sometimes you might, maybe you'll speak in tongues. Maybe you'll say a scripture over and over. And he was saying to me that just like Jericho, when the walls came down, it made no sense to walk around that fortress seven times. It made no sense. But maybe he'll say to you, say your child's name in that scripture over and over and over and over and over. And it won't make sense, but the ground underneath that fortress is being shaken by the Lord and it's breaking up. So that when it's God's will, God's way, God's time, those walls will come down. And then the last thing that he told me was that the battle belongs to the Lord. And when I started praying, and I'm praying right now for my son who has melanoma on his back and he's got some gambling strongholds and some things, and it seems like I'm looking up all the time. And the Lord said, the battle belongs to me. Do you know who's fighting for you? Do you know the angels out there? Do you know the Lord is fighting for you? And when you know that, instead of looking up, you're looking down because God's with you in your battles. And then the last thing, too, is that we are all sisters in the Lord, and there is strength in our prayers together. And some of us pray long and hard for different things, and we fight together. And I think that was the last thing. So anyway, I hope that was helpful to you, and that's what I've started to do. So what I did is I took the map and now I've erased, you know, Manasseh's name and Asher's name and all those. And I've put in my children, my grandchildren. There are friends that I'm praying for. Even things in my own life that I have strongholds that I want the Lord. I know the Lord wants to break some of those strongholds. So I put all those names in here and then I pray as the Lord calls me, when he calls me, the way he calls me. And I lift these up to him. Okay.
Thank you. So you have your copy now of this, and so you can start writing in there the land that you need to be taking. What land have you not taken that God has given you? So you're going to write that in those different little sections there where the tribes were. So you can take that home and work on that, and that'll be part of your homework. But it will be really, I just love that she did that. And I asked her if we could share that so that all of us could partake in that. And I'm really excited about doing that. So I came across this little thing today and just wanted to share it with you. It's called In a Mother's Womb Were Two Babies. One asked the other, do you believe in life after delivery? The other replied, well, of course, there has to be something after delivery. Maybe we're here to prepare ourselves for what we will be later. Nonsense, said the first. There's no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be? The second said, I don't know, but there will be more light there than we have here. Maybe we will walk on our legs and eat from our mouths. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand now. The first replied, that's absurd. Walking in it is impossible. Eating with our mouths, ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need. But the umbilical cord is so short. Life after delivery is to be logically excluded. The second insisted, well, I think there's something and maybe it's different than it is here. Maybe we won't need this physical cord anymore. And the first replied, nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back from there? Delivery is the end of life. And in the after delivery, there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere. Well, I don't know, said the second, but certainly we will meet Mother and she will take care of us. The first replied, Mother? You actually believe in a mother? That's laughable. If Mother exists, then where is she now? And the second said, she's all around us. We're surrounded by her. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist. Said the first, well, I don't see her, so it's only logical that she doesn't exist. To which the second replied, sometimes when you're in silence and you focus and listen, you can perceive her presence, and you can hear her loving voice calling down from above. Isn't that cool? That's a really cool, and although it's called her, although it's called mother, we all are clear that we're talking about Father, right? Okay, so with that, I love that little thing there. So, and this chapter, I don't know, has anybody else had a wonderful week since last Tuesday? Yes. I'll rise, but I refuse to shine for most of it. I have so many notes that I'm not going to use any of them. But something that I heard Brian Broderson say this morning as I was getting ready, he said something about the book of Judges and how people were doing things that were right in their own eyes. And I thought, you know, here we are in Joshua, and Judges is on the horizon. You know, it was only 250 years before Judges was written. It only took 250 years, and it was already going in that direction for them to be able to write the book of Judges. So only 250 years. And so as I was looking at that and I was thinking about, so first of all, how many of you have read the book of Judges? Okay, the rest of you need to read the book of Judges. And you'll look at it and you'll go, oh, well, oh, and it's different. And there we are in the book of Judges right now. I believe that America is in the book of Judges right now. And we have been in the book of Judges for some time. We were talking this morning about the constitutions. A regular constitution lasts approximately 17 years. The American Constitution, the United States Constitution, has lasted 235 years. This experiment called the United States under the Constitution, I fear, is coming to an end. And we just need to pray for the Lord's direction. As you look around and you see what's going on in our country, the first thing that came to my mind is in the book of Judges, it said, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so when you look at the whole homosexual thing and all of the other things, and they say, well, you don't want to say anything against that because that's their truth. That's what they believe. We don't want to go against anything that they believe. And so everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. So here we are today in the book of Judges. Nope, we're not in the book of Judges. Yes, we are, but no, we're not. But tonight we are in Joshua chapter 22. And as we finish this book, we're going to see the end of a life of Joshua, the end of Eliezer's life, the end of the death of both of them. It's the record of the end of an era, the end of a generation that were strong, committed men with the hopes and prayers that they have passed on those same qualities to the next generation. How many of us in here just hope that to our children that we have passed on to them everything that they need to live this life, everything that they need to walk with the Lord? And if you don't have kids, who are you passing that on to? There's someone that you're looking at and you're saying, I just want to make sure that they know the Lord, that they know how to walk in this world. That's what it was about with Joshua and Eliezer and the coming of the end of that generation. They fought for these 7 years, and now they're at a place where they are getting an honorable discharge, so to speak, from the army. So as we just begin with chapter 22, it says, then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have kept all that Moses, the servants of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. You have not left your brethren these many days up to this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren as he promised them. Now, therefore, you can return and go to your tents, go to your homes, and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, for tonight. We thank you for your word, and we pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak what you have to speak tonight, Lord, that you would say your words, that we would hear what you have to say, that we would be sensitive, Lord, to what you are telling us tonight. Lord, that we would be confident in knowing that you are in complete control tonight, that you have this and that you have us. And Lord, you are directing us in a particular way. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Just make us aware that you're here, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here he was. They're at a place where, okay, guys, you get to go home. You've been honorably discharged. You've done your job. You've done exactly what I asked you to do. You fought for the other side. You have taken care of all these things. And then in verse 5, he gives them an admonition. He said, but take diligent heed. Take diligent heed. He's taking it very serious. Take diligent. Be diligent about it. Take it seriously. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all of your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them. He blessed them. He gave them the admonition of what they were to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Serve him. Keep his commandments. All of these things. This is what you're to do when you go back to your homes. And then he blesses them and he sends them away. And they went to their tents. Now, half the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given a possession in Bashan, but to the other half of it, Joshua gave a possession among their brethren on this side of the Jordan westward. And indeed, when Joshua sent them away to their tents, he blessed them as well. So he blessed both sides, all the people that were going off to their tents. And he spoke to them saying, return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with a whole bunch of clothes. You remember that Achan, these are the very things that Achan took when he wasn't supposed to take them. But now they're being told, take all of them. How many of you have a bunch of clothes? You have a lot of extra clothes. These were clothes. These were things that were won in the war. They were spoils of the war. It says, take all these things and divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. You are to divide up the spoils. Well, wait, I fought for this. This is my prize. Shouldn't this be my prize? Don't I get to keep an extra amount because I was the one who fought for it? No, it's to be divided up. And everybody gets the same amount of everything so that it all gets divided amongst all of the people. What this person fought for will go to all of the people. When we stand in the gap for others, they are getting our spoils of war. When we are praying for someone else and they are delivered from things, they are getting the spoils of war. We've gone to warfare with them, and they are getting the blessings of the Lord from that warfare that's going on. And so, in verse 10, and when they came to the region, and so the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, which they possessed according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, we all know they're on the Transjordan side. They were given that land. Moses said, it's okay for you to go there. Joshua said, it's okay for you to be there. And now you can get to go back there. In verse 10, it says, and they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan. The children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. They stopped before they crossed. We were having conversation about this earlier, and it really doesn't matter if it was on this side or that side, but it's my belief that it was on the west side of the Jordan, because it says that they stopped and built the altar, and then they went home. So they built the altar, and then they went across the Jordan. So big deal. It doesn't matter. It has no eternal value whatsoever. So there they are. They've built an altar by the Jordan. Okay. That's a great thing that they did. They went home. They're living their lives. All of a sudden, as we move on to verse 11, now the children of Israel heard someone say, I love that phrase. They heard someone say, someone told someone that somebody else had done something over on that side of the town. It was totally hearsay. There's a reason why in court hearsay is not allowed, because hearsay is actually an assumption of what happened. Hearsay is an assumption of what happened. And so some of the children of Israel heard someone say, behold, the children of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan. This is the way that I think that they came and said it. In the land of Canaan, in the region of the Jordan, on the side occupied by the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. How long has it been since they finished fighting that someone wandered into that area and saw the altar there? How long was it? We don't know. I haven't found anything. If somebody else has found it, please let me know. But it doesn't take long before we're ready to go to war on an assumption, because assumption leads to accusation. Assumption leads to accusation. Now they are accusing them of building this altar, and they're accusing them of turning their backs on God. That's what they're accusing them of. And it goes on to say, then they did the right thing. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, to half the tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead. So they went right to their home, right to their houses. They met them over on the other side. Verse 14, and with him 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. And then they came to the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, and they spoke with them, saying, now here I think there's a tone of accusation as they're talking. Thus says the whole congregation of the Lord. By the way, everybody's talking about you guys. Everybody. Everybody on that other side is talking about you guys. They're talking about what you did. They're saying, what treachery is this that you have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that you have built for yourselves an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? How many of you went to Numbers 25 and you checked out what happened there? Numbers 25, verses 1 through 9, and you find out what happened there. Don't ask me to explain it. There is no explanation for it. I'm glad we're in the New Testament. I'm glad that we live in New Testament times based on that. But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord. And it shall be if you rebel today against the Lord that tomorrow he's going to be angry with us. And so we're coming to you to put an end to it. Nevertheless, if the land of your possession is unclean, if you don't like where you're living, come on over to our side. We'll give you some land. You can live there. But please don't do this because we know the price that we're going to have to pay for your disobedience. They had made an assumption, and now they're making that accusation on what they believe has been done. Nevertheless, so the land where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us, but do not rebel against the Lord, nor rebel against us by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of the Lord our God. Didn't Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on the congregation of Israel? And that man did not perish alone in his iniquity. That's because sin affects us all. None of us sins to ourselves. I know I've said it so many times. I have to be reminded of it so many times. Sin does not just affect me. I don't sin unto myself. It affects everyone. I wish you would. We could have played a thing from Garrison Keillor. When he talks about, do you know who Garrison Keillor is? He's a storyteller. He's just a storyteller, and he's now 81 years old. We just went to see him at the theater. But Keillor, Garrison Keillor, K-E-I-L-E-R, I think. I don't think it has two L's in it. Anyway, he tells a story of a man who is laying on the lawn thinking about the trip he's about to take with someone, a woman, from the office. And he's going, if I take this trip, if I get onto that plane, this is what's going to happen, and this is going to happen. The birds are going to stop singing. The dogs are going to stop barking. Clothes are going to turn a different color. I mean, he hit every single little thing that if I decide to go on this trip that I know is wrong, it's going to affect everything around me. That's what sin does. It affects everything around us. It pollutes everything around us and everyone around us is affected by it. None of us sins unto ourselves, and I know that you guys already know that. So he's speaking of Achan. They knew that as well. And so they've done the right thing, though, because with their assumption that led to an accusation, they decided to talk to them. Communication leads to clarification. Communication leads to clarification. Now, there are times when things happen in our lives and we go, well, I'm not talking about it. Those are those times when you're in your house and nobody's talking to anybody. Well, I'm not talking about it. Nope. Mm-mm. Not saying a word. Nope. Don't want to talk about it. Mm-mm. I just want to be mad. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want you to talk to me about it. I don't want any communication whatsoever. I know what I've decided is going on, and that's that. So, there you go. Communication leads to clarification. So they talked to them about it. They saw, now Reuben and Gad and Manasseh have all seen what it was that they're being accused of. And he goes on to say in 21, then the children of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh said to the heads of the division of Israel, the Lord of gods, the Lord of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know if it is in rebellion or if in treachery against the Lord. Do not save us this day. God will put us to death right now. If we have done something that is against him, we know that he will have put us to death right now. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or to offer peace offerings on it, let the Lord himself require an account. God will take care of it if this is what we've done. Thank you for bringing it to my attention that you feel this way, but this is not what's going on. Verse 24, but in fact, we have done it for fear. We have done it for fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between you and us. You children of Reuben and Gad, you have no part in the Lord. Pay attention to this next line. They're saying that the next generation, your children, are going to come to our children, and they're going to say, you don't have any part in this. And it's going to cause our children to turn their back on the Lord. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. So we put this altar up. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offerings, nor for sacrifice. We don't need it for that. But that it may be a witness between you and us and our generation after us, that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings in the places that they're supposed to be offered, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. Therefore, we said that it will be, when they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say, here is the replica. Here it is. When just right now, this is, the enemy would come to me with, you don't really believe, you know, you are not really born again. And you just go back to your old ways. You might as well just go back to your old ways. We all know about all that you are doing. So just go ahead and go back, because you've not accepted the Lord. So I took that day and I wrote down, I had accepted the Lord, but on this particular day, I couldn't remember the date that I had accepted the Lord. So on this particular day, I was in the tent in Costa Mesa, and I sat in the seats where everybody was accepting the Lord and getting the things Chuck was telling us all about what to expect. And I wrote that date in the front of my Bible, so that the next time that the enemy came to me and he said, oh, you're not saved, you didn't do, there's nothing different about you. Oh, yes, I did. I have it right here. Let me show it to you. Let me look at it and let me show it to you. I have proof. So they said, we built the replica of the altar which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings and not for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord. Their walk with the Lord was right on. They were right in step with God. They were doing what God told them to do. That far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn from following the Lord this day, to build an altar for burnt offering, for grain offerings, or for sacrifices besides the altar of the Lord our God, which is before his tabernacle. And then what happens? So communication led to clarification. It led to clarification on there. And so in verse 30, and when Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh, what they spoke, it pleased them. And then Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest and the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh said, this day we perceive the Lord is among us. And I would say to us right now, this day, this time, this moment, we perceive that the Lord is with us. He promised to never leave us or forsake us, and he will not. He loves us with an everlasting love, and with his loving kindness, he has drawn us, and he will not leave us. Because you have not committed this treachery against the Lord, now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. How did they deliver them out of the hand of the Lord? They kept them from fighting them. They kept them from going into war with them. So they had that communication that gave the clarification, that gave them the truth that was going on. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest and the rulers returned from the children of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. They returned from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan to the children of Israel and brought word back to them. And so the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and they didn't talk about it ever again. That's what it says. They didn't talk about that again. It was over and it was done with. How many of us want to go over the thing again and again and again? You know, sometimes we have a little argument and we have been really mad, and then we get over it and everything is worked out, and then that little thing comes back and we go over it again in our mind. Nobody else does that, huh? Okay, I guess nobody else does that. Just me. Just me. It comes back, and I said, and you relive it. There you are, back in that same place again. They didn't talk about it anymore. They were done with it, going about their idea to go against battle with them. Verse 34, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. So I challenge us now to take verse 5 seriously, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, to serve him with all your heart, to serve him with all your soul. That I counted 6 of those, and 6 happens to be the number of man, and God knows our hearts. He knows our frailty. He knows that we are simply dust. He knows that we are just men and women. Mankind, we are mankind. So I ask myself, and I ask you now, do you always love the Lord your God? Do you always walk in all his ways? Do you always keep his commandments? Do you always hold fast to him? Do you hold on tight to him? Do you always serve him with all your heart? Do you always serve him with all your soul? For me, unfortunately, the answer is no. I don't. And so what am I to do with that? If I'm not always following all of that, what am I to do with that? God knows the heart of man. He knows our very weakness. He knows that we could not pay the debt we owe for disobedience to him. So he sent his only son, Jesus, who became that sacrifice for my sin and for your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That word believe, trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to. That's what the word believe means. When I sin, I'm to confess my sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. To make me what he wants me to be. God is able, God is willing, and God will do what he said he will do. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. that you have met us here tonight, that you have spoken to us tonight, that you have gone before us. And we thank you, Lord. And now as we get into our small groups, Lord, let us hear the things that you will continue to say to us. We want to honor you. We want to bless you. We want to give you all the glory and praise that's due your name. Help us to walk in all your ways, to follow all your commands, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, kiddos. You are off and running.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of your name.